up until now. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Those young folks stir me up.
Yeah.
I think I got better moves than some of you young folks.
Woo.
I was moving. You didn't see me, did you? Shame on me. She's passing out some literature for each and every one, mostly all the young people. Would you pray for me tonight? I want to give you a lot of information. We don't have the use of the internet, so I'm going to have to do some reading. And I pray that you just bear with me and let me get this reading out. We have enough time that I can do this. But I also can tell you where you can find this at. We pray that God help me tonight.
Amen.
To bring forth his word. Now, I'm not, unless God sees otherwise, preaching. I want to talk to you tonight. I really want to get through to the young people tonight, especially. We're somewhat laid up and was recovering from major back surgeries, three of them. God led me to find out a lot of information and do some research. And I have to do a lot of skipping over tonight, so I hope you can follow with me. But I just want to say that the Word of God says that we as a watchman that stand upon the wall, God says that we are watching. And when we see, let's say, the enemy or the sword coming, it is our job to warn the people. If I was in the service, the military, and we were somewhere, perhaps in Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan, and I was on the watch for my unit, I'm sure I have to do a good job, because I am going to be held accountable. I have a responsibility of being on guard and watch and let them know when the enemy comes. I better let them know. If the enemy, Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or Taliban, I forget what they called them in Vietnam. There was another name. But if I allow them, if I go to sleep, and the enemy comes and destroys the camp and kills my unit, I'm going to be held accountable.
Amen.
So we, as men and women of God, and God put us in a position that when we see what is happening, when we see the danger coming, when we see disaster coming, when we see the enemy coming, it's our job to warn you. Now, you may not like the warning. It may not please you that I holler out and say, the enemy is coming, arm yourselves. But that's my job.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not, that's my job.
Amen.
So we as men and women of God, the Bible says when we see the sword coming, the danger coming and approaching, we must warn you. God says if we do not warn you, God is going to hold us accountable and your blood will be on our hands. So I want to go to in the book of Ezekiel. And it says in Ezekiel, in the 33rd chapter, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to, wait a minute, Grandpa. All right. I can see. I knew I heard voices out there. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of the people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, If the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn people. And it says, then whosoever hear the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But the watchman seeth the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Yes. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. And when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. And if thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Amen. I'm going to speak tonight. I want to give you some information about the so-called phenomenon, ungodly, evil phenomenon, Harry Potter. In doing the research and studying for this, I'm skipping a lot. It is so evil. It is so gore. It's so horrible that I'm skipping over much. Thank you. I hope I don't pull an Elder Mackey up here. She's smart, she can be glass to fall. They don't put nothing past me.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. As I said, bear with me. In 1 Samuel 15 chapter and 23rd verse, we understand, we know that Saul disobeyed. Saul disobeyed, and Samuel had to correct him and telling him that after about his disobedience, and he let Saul know, he said, for rebellion is as a sin of what? Witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. But thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he have also rejected thee from being king. Alright? 2 Chronicles, the 33rd verse, 33rd chapter, and the 6th verse. And here we find that Manasseh became the king of Israel, and we find that his father was Hezekiah, and being around 12 years old, he became king, and he was a king for 55 years. But what he did was, all that his father did that was right before God, he reversed it. And it lets us know that in that chapter, it says that Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord hath cast out before the children of Israel. For what did he do? For he built again which his father had taken down. But he built again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. And he reared up altars for Baal and made groves and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served them. And what did he do? He built altars of all places. He built idol worshiping altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven. Now what do we mean the host of heaven? He built altars that they used to worship the sun, the moon, and various planets. Alright? How does God feel about this? And it says that he built altars and all the host of heaven and the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused the children to pass through the fire of the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times. Observing times. Enchantment. That's witchcraft. Who was forbidden. He observed times. In verse 6, and he caused the children to pass through the fire. And as we go on down, he observed times and used enchantment and used witchcraft. Yes, witchcraft. And dealt with a what? Familiar spirit. And with wizards. I want to explain to you something about a familiar spirit. There are spirits. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But there are spirits, there are demons, and we got to understand that is so true. You ever seen somebody or programs where they say they talk to the dead for relatives? Those familiar spirits are so familiar that roam throughout the earth and around individuals and follow individuals, interrupting their lives, and to the point, that's why they call familiar spirits. They're familiar with your ways. So these soothsayers or fortune tellers or these that claim they are conjuring up or calling up your dead relative are really conjuring up these familiar spirits.
Right.
Your dead relative is not going to get up and speak to nobody. Amen. But the familiar spirit that is familiar with you and your ways, and because they are familiar with your ways, can answer questions that soothsayer, that fortune teller, or whoever it is that claims they call up the dead, can talk to you about your grandfather, your grandmother, your sister, your mother, and father, because they are familiar with them.
Amen.
You see them on TV and they make a whole lot of money. And when they say, oh yeah, your father said to tell you that car, that red Volkswagen, oh, they get all excited and cry, oh, amazing, oh, you're talking to my father. No, you're talking to that familiar spirit.
All right.
How does God feel about this? Witchcraft, he deal with familiar spirits and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. This provokes God to anger. All right? One more scripture in Galatians. Galatians. The fruits of the spirit, the fruits of the flesh, the ungodly, the evil, those that are in iniquity, that disobey God's word, the worldly, the ungodly. The Bible says, for the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and what? Witchcraft. And I'm going to drop all the way down to the last sentence in verse 21, Galatians, the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter, and I'm going to read the latter part of verse 21. And it says, the latter part, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When you're dealing in witchcraft, you're involved in observing time. You're involved in enchantments. You're involved in dealing with familiar spirits and wizards and things of that magnitude. Now, I noticed in some scriptures of in Genesis, you don't have to go to this, Genesis, the 6th chapter, and verse 5, and it goes in Genesis, the 8th chapter, 21, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, and always relates it to evil, every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. In Genesis 8 and 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man, for the imagination of man's heart, what is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. Jeremiah 11 chapter verse 8, it says, yet they obey not, nor incline their ear, but walk everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. Jeremiah 16 and 12. And we have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk everyone after the imagination. Here it is again, of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Two more, quickly. Jeremiah 18 and 12. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. Man knows the way to think this way. The end is death. There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of what? His evil heart. Jeremiah 23 and 17. They say, still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his heart, no evil shall come upon him. So now I'm going to get into, I wish we did have this up on the screen. I think on your papers you have a design there. It shows something looks like a horse, but it's really a unicorn. If you look at that closely, you will notice that it has a horn, which is also symbolic of the seeing eye. And also, the unicorn is also a occultic or Satanist, it's a symbol of the Antichrist. And you notice there that to the right, the red letters, red numbers. Can anybody make up what that is? 666. And what's it say at the top? Mark of the beast. This is on the cover, and this is involved with the Harry Potter books. Now, Harry Potter, it says Hogwarts School. Now, I have to read some information that we can't bring up on the screen. Just bear with me. I'm going to read this quick. But also, too, I'm going to let you know where you can get some of this information. But I just want to bring out some very important information. I'm going to read quickly. Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry required book list for start of second year. Public schools are now including Harry Potter books on their required reading list. Therefore, Lord have mercy, we find it highly interesting the types of books students at Hogwarts are required to read. What kids love, they copy. So the types of subject Harry Potter is learning is what your child will be interested in learning. A lady by the name of J.K. Rowling is the author of these books, and she tries to deny that she is involved in witchcraft or a witch, but she is trying to be very sneaky about it. But she has written these books, and they are geared to our young children. Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna read some topics real quick. These topics in these books are break with a banshee. Now a banshee is an individual that screams outside of a house and causes somebody to die inside. Do you want your child reading those books? Gathering with ghouls. It goes on, holiday with hags, great subjects, travel with trolls, voyage with vampires, wandering with werewolves, year with the Yeti. And it says, when the fourth Harry Potter book, Goblet of Fire, was about to be introduced at retail, people all over the world flocked to buy it. Many bookstores organized Harry Potter parties, Harry Potter parties, and encouraged youngsters of all ages to come to the party dressed in a costume described in one of the Potter books. Youngsters by the many thousands flocked to these parties dressed as witches. Now, however, the most striking picture were of the youngsters who were standing in line to have the lightning bolt tattooed in the middle of their foreheads. These kids couldn't wait to have a mark tattooed to their forehead in exactly the place the false prophet is going to demand it to be placed in a very short time. We fear that conditioning to take the mark of the beast is the most important goal of Harry Potter books. The bottom line decision is yours about your children and Harry Potter. The question is asked, are you going to follow scripture? Are you going to follow the scriptures? Limit your child to taking into his or her mind that which is wholesome, or pure, lovely, or of a good report, or art. Or are you going to allow your child to go to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry with Harry Potter and his friends to discover, among other things, how to wander aimlessly with ghouls, plundering gravestones, and eating the flesh of corpses? When your child comes from public school with an assignment to read a Harry Potter book so they can write a book report, you will know more what to say and how to argue against your child carrying through this assignment. And since the condition, trying to condition them for what is about to come, since the conditioning to accept the satanic values and attitudes, the Antichrist has reached a new level with the Harry Potter books. We should recognize that this entire Harry Potter phenomenon is helping prepare the entire world to accept his values. We should prayerfully acknowledge that this is one of the clever signs that the end of the age is truly close. Cover of two Harry Potter books display occult symbols of the Antichrist. All right, I want to read this. In a news brief, it was proved that Harry Potter series of books teaches children the highest level of witchcraft attainable. We know this to be true because Harry Potter has achieved the Sorcerer's Stone representative of the fifth and final level of transmutation of the soul. At this level, a witch can communicate with the dead at will and can command demons with ease and can perform astral travel. Your children, it's like they're going to sleep and they travel someplace and do destructive deeds. And the body can be right there. This is what they want to teach the children. They probably, since the world stands at the brink of the appearance of the Antichrist, we theorize that the time might be right to move America into the final stages of the values and attitudes that would be able to accept him when he arose. After all, the parents of today's children drank their fill of black magic witchcraft of the rock music culture in the 70s and 90s. They probably would have no trouble with the Satanism taught in these Harry Potter books. Antichrist can appear, and Harry Potter might just be instrumental in preparing the children of the world for him. If this is the case, we should see overt evidence of Antichrist in the symbolism, symbolism, many symbols in the stories and the books of Harry Potter, of Harry Potter's books. I want to say something. There's one title that Satan has a key in my lock. And what that has reference to, that Satan has a key in my lock. If you have a key in the lock, you can open the door, isn't that right? And it's said that Satan has a key in my lock. And when these children read these and get involved in all this Harry Potter phenomenon and so on, Satan has a key in their lock of their mind to open the door for them to get involved and to just eat this up and get involved in witchcraft and so much ungodliness. Don't you thank God for the truth?
Amen.
And the truth shall what? Make free. This is the book. You can't see it. This is the book cover of the book Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Notice that Harry Potter is flying into the what is called Hogwarts School of Witchcraft. Now they have this fantasy of a Hogwarts school of witches and so on. But do you know that children are trying to do this for real? What they see, you know, as they see heroes on TV and so on, they want to be like them. They want to be the Lone Ranger. They want to be Superman. They want to be this. They want to be that. They want to be Harry Potter. They want to do what Harry Potter does. And we'll read you something later on, that how they also can come up and try to experiment with concoctions to cast spells that can't be reversed. Book to cover Harry Potter's Sorcerer's Stone. Notice that Harry Potter is flying into the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizarding on a witch's broom with his lightning bolt between his eyes, very visible, and notice behind him, frolicking on the grass behind Harry is that symbol, the unicorn. Now, another superb reason to pull your precious children out of public schools, it says. Whew. Harry Potter's 11-year-old youngster who is a skilled wizard, a witch, using his powers of witchcraft. Harry Potter recreates his world through black magic, witchcraft. These books are conditioning precious young minds to accept witchcraft and are being promoted in public schools and the public libraries. A gentleman by the name of Lambert plainly stated that the vast majority of the population of the world had to fall into either category, one of two, before Antichrist could arrive. Thus, the formerly solid Christian values-based culture of America had to be dramatically changed before Antichrist could arrive. We have carefully cataloged the methodical planned manner in which this change has been effected since 63, both in seminars and however, since Harry Potter is so clearly and plainly active witchcraft and is still accepted by parents as proper reading material for their young children, whom they are supposed to love with all their heart, we can only conclude that this necessary conditioning level has reached the point where most of the American people will be properly, here it is, awakened receptors to him. Since so many other end time prophecies are coming to fruition, and so many other ones are having the stage set for their fulfillment, we can only conclude that the American population is rapidly approaching the point needed for the appearance of the Antichrist, where the people are properly awakened receptors for him. Harry Potter is leading the way just like the Pied Piper. Satan is playing the music, and Americans are dancing close behind. God's commands on what to teach your precious children. Thank you, Jesus. God commands parents to teach his commandments so thoroughly to their children that their young minds will be saturated with them. Listen, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. People say, oh, you just talk about the Lord too much. It's everything's about the Bible. Everything's about the Word of God. It should be.
Amen. Amen.
This is not a home.
Amen.
It should be. And it says, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt what? Bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. In Deuteronomy 6 chapter verses 6 through 9, you can read that. And also here we can see parents instructed to talk of God's word in everyday life, teaching them with earnest diligence and setting what an example of a lifestyle of Christian living every day of your life. Biblical ignorance is so rampant, and it really is, among even devout Christians. Lord have mercy. Today, that most Christian parents are not even aware of how seriously God has commanded them to saturate their children, their children's minds and hearts with biblical word and precepts. And if Christian parents were really and truly saturating the minds of their children in this way, they would be walking so close to the Lord that they would instantly recognize, in other words, just even discern, recognize the dangers posed by Harry Potter's obvious Satanism and stay far, far away from it.
Hallelujah.
It goes on to say, as the Apostle Paul warned, let no one, this is from the Amplified Bible, let no one delude and deceive you with empty excuses and groundless arguments for these sins. For though through these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of rebellion and disobedience. That's in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 6th verse. So this deception is getting so very, very good that even the elect, might be deceived just as Jesus foretold. Truly, again, this is the end of the age.
Amen.
Just a little more here to go. Lord, all right. It says, Harry Potter has another book, Chamber of Secrets, depicted killings, cutting up, and stewing human beings to make a rhetorical potion. Humans are killed, cut up, and stewed. Of all people, do you know there are some Christian organizations backing this that are on our radios? And one you may have heard of, Chuck Colson, Dr. James Dobson, and Christianity Today either have never read this book. They either have never read this book, they have told Christian parents all right for their kids to read, or they are misleading.
Yes.
Definitely misleading. What does the Bible say? Forever learning, never come to the knowledge of the truth. All these learning institutions, you listen to some of these men on the radio and TVs, so knowledgeable, so much research, and you have to, as they say, you know, eat the meat and spit out the bones.
Yes.
Amen. Come on.
But you better know the Word of God. Because see, when God told Adam and Eve, thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. What does Satan say in the third chapter? He says, he just added one little word. See, if you don't know the Word of God, you can be deceived. And in Harry Potter's book, they use a lot of biblical lines in there to make you feel as though this is something religious. This is something that pertains to God. There's one book, they speak of frankincense and myrrh and all these things. And the phoenix, and make it look like it's the resurrection, it's a mess. And if you don't know the word of God, you're going to be deceived. And in all Harry Potter books, witches and warlocks are conjuring up all sorts of different spells in order to get revenge on an enemy or to play a trick on someone. In fact, students casting spells upon their students have gotten so bad that Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry issued a proclamation forbidding such practices. Some of these spells pose a great difficulty to the victim because they are not easily reversed or canceled. Throughout the various books. Throughout the various books, anti-spell conjurations and or potions are concocted just to reverse the powerful spell. All right, we'll do some reading here and I'll be finished. Does anyone want to, they're talking about Chuck Colson and Christianity today. Somebody needs to tell them that the demonic practices of sacrificing young teens in the flower of their lives is not only totally unchristian, but that it is occurring in the supernatural world, the fantasy world of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
That's right. That's right.
Furthermore, once these student witches and wizards graduate, they will enter the what is called muggles, whatever that is, world to live their lives. When they are called upon to perform this restorative portion, they will be forced to resort to real human sacrifices in the real world. Maybe somebody will let them know and focus on the family that they should withdraw their conditional positive. Can you believe that? They're recommending this? Recommendation that some people under certain conditions and with proper adult supervision can read Harry Potter and still be consistent with Christian principles? Maybe someone needs to tell them that no Christian, under any circumstance, and no matter what age, needs to be reading such satanic filth. Perhaps someone should be telling them that the Apostle Paul covered this situation perfectly 2,000 years ago. And here's what he says as we listen to his command, taught by the Holy Ghost. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things in Philippians, the 4th chapter, 8th verse. Or take the word of Jesus himself on this subject, come out from her, my people, so that you may not share in her sins, neither participate in her plagues. In Revelation 18, chapter 4th verse. Separation from sin and the only biblical method of dealing with severe sin, such as witchcraft and wizardry. Do not be deceived. You say you want to reach the people reading Harry Potter, so you feel you have to read them also? This kind of thinking is human thinking and human reasoning. This is the kind of thinking God spoke of when he said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yes. Hallelujah. No Christian child should ever be subjected to this kind of war.
Amen.
I would think young girls especially would be especially troubled in their emotions by the spectacle of murdering young teenagers simply and only to get the stew meat necessary to make this witch's portion. Further, we need to follow God's commands in this matter. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things, they are an abomination. They are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, in other words, it just disgusts God. Abomination, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verses 9 to 12. Though Harry Potter books are precious, children are learning witchcraft. In God's sight, it does not matter. It does not matter. It does not matter. One whit whether they actually practice witchcraft later in their lives, they are learning it quite well in these Harry Potter books. In the passage in Deuteronomy, notice that God drove the people out of their land, flowing with milk and honey, because they had practiced these satanic activities. How did God drive them out? He drove them out militarily with the edge of the sword. In a number of instances, God commanded the Israelites' leadership to kill men, women, child, and in some cases, animals, in order to properly purge the countryside so that the Jews could live there in purity before the Lord. So do not be deceived, as God never changes. What made him mad 4,000 years ago makes him equally mad today. Perhaps now you are beginning to see the reason God unleashes his fury so terribly. And we read the Bible and say, my Lord, you know, gee, they all drowned in the Red Sea. My Lord, the earth opened up. My Lord, fire came down and just wiped them out. You wonder why God did things like people would say in such a terrible way. That should give you an idea how much God hates sin.
Come on.
So we see that he unleashes his fury so terribly during the great tribulation period that 2/3 of the population of the world dies, man, woman, child, and animals. God further reveals that sin defiles the land on which people dwell. But then God reveals that the types of sin, which God calls an abomination above, defiles a land really bad. Listen. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land is abominate out of her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nations. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. You think, God, you know, they say experience the best teacher, but also the experience of others can be a good teacher too. Because if I see you go 90 miles an hour down an icy road and go into spinning tracks and demolish your car and halfway kill yourself, I don't think I'm going to try that. But you would think after they saw what God did because of sin, somebody would straighten up. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, Harry Potter and all, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep my ordinance, that ye commit not anyone of them. Not all, not a few, but anyone which commit you, that you defile, that you commit any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. But you still protest, how can I reach the Harry Potter? Now listen to this. People protest, well, how can I reach the Harry Potter fans? How can I reach them if I don't read the book? How can I reach them if I don't associate with them? All right? But you still protest, how can I reach the Harry Potter fans if I do not read the book also to discover what they're all about? The biblical principle is that you never become part of the world to reach the world.
Right. Come on. Come on.
Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto thee. Amen. Hallelujah. This is how you reach the Harry Potter fans, lifting up the truth of the gospel to them, praying for them, and allowing the Holy Ghost to convict them of sin, all the while carefully observing the warning of Jude. Strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. On others, take pity, but with fear, loathing, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. Jude the 23rd verse. Do not be deceived. Harry Potter defiles the spiritual garments of he who reads them. He who reads them, not doing them, he who reads them, including Christians. It is high time for true Christians to separate themselves from Harry Potter so God can use them mightily to spiritually rescue others caught in this satanic net. One final matter, if you want to, it says if you want to contact these folks that are doing this supporting, you want to defend this human sacrifice depicted in Chamber of Secrets, do not attempt to defend it on the basis that it's just a literary device, that's all. It's just a literary device in libraries and what have you and so on. The last time we Christians listened to that kind of nonsense, it was defending the abomination of pornography. What happened with that? Because of the freedom of speech protection, we rejected out of hand the entire concept that abominable sin is all right if we teach it under the fig leaf skies of literary devices. What patent nonsense and an extremely abominable sin in the sight of God. When children from ages from 7 to 18 are going to so mad over the satanic filth of Harry Potter, we know we are looking at one of the firm signs of the end times. With all of the other signs pointing to the soon appearance of Antichrist, we now know that the children of today have a Pied Piper by the name of Harry Potter to lead them straight to hell. This is my last page, about a quarter of a page here. Praise the Lord. If you want, again, let's talk about contacting these people and tell them what you think. And of their enthusiastic endorsement, talking about Christianity today, unbelievable, of Harry Potter. Remember the headlines was, Why We Like Harry Potter. But anyways, it gives you information about that. But if, let's just know that's focused on the family, conditionally endorsement of Harry Potter, even after they admitted it was filled with witchcraft. I don't know what Bible they read. You have to write, and it talks about writing, contacting, and things of that nature. But further, the argument that Christian children need to read Potter to be able to witness to the unbelieving about his danger is unbelievable, as unbiblical, and patent nonsense, as we have noted above. We need only see a few words, the words like witches, wizards, or magic, to know that the Bible commands us to not touch that which is unclean, period. In the paragraph. Somebody needs to let Chuck Colson know what you think of his enthusiastic support of Harry Potter. That's just amazing. When a witch goes into the fantasy world, they are contacting, even entering, the supernatural world, thus making Colson's assurance absolutely false. All the activity in Hogwarts is in the supernatural world. Further, in what is called the muggle or non-magical world, many contacts are made with various ghosts and goblins, and making Colson's assurance completely false. Truly, the popularity of Harry Potter and the terrible acceptance by Christian ministries is another huge sign that we are at the end of the age. Praise the Lord.